Good Tuesday afternoon, and welcome to Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel. And today, I have the special pleasure of having the two red pills on. I have two ladies from the Salt Lake City area who are going to be helping us with the Red Pill Expo, bringing the section of the Red Pill Expo called Why Fight City Hall When You Can Be City Hall. They're going to be bringing that presentation to the Salt Lake City area. My two guests today are Jennifer Orton and Sophie Anderson. They are known as the Two Red Pills, and they will be talking about how you can bring government back to the people, how local government is the important government, the importance of being involved, being part of the local solution. We today have two ladies called in the Salt Lake City. They're called the Two Red Pills, and they do have a national following. So they've been doing something that's very, very important to the whole country, and that is understanding the relationship of local government to the whole system that our country was founded on. Ladies, welcome to the program. I guess maybe we'll start with you, Jennifer. You're the first that I spoke with, and then we'll bring Sophie into the conversation. Would you like to tell our listeners how you guys got started and how you've been working with local government to make things actually much better for the citizens?
Yeah, I think one of the few big benefits of the COVID situation is it woke a lot of people up. I happened to be awake before then for several decades, so I was kind of expecting something like it. But even then, when it happens, it's still always a shock and a tragedy. But we were able to get a group of people together who all kind of stood up. We didn't know each other before, including Sophie and I. We were just people who said, oh my gosh, this is a big problem. What can I do? And as it went on, we realized that if we didn't do something, we actually became part of the problem. And we were able to forge these amazing friendships with people like Sophie who had this love of God, love of freedom that is in our blood. Like, there's nothing we can do to get rid of that. We came wired to this earth, I think, to do these things. And we just said, we're not going to stop until this corruption is exposed, till the truth is exposed, until we have done everything within our power. And by the way, the people have a lot of power, many of which we ourselves were not tapping into at that time. So it's been a blessing. It has certainly made us get more active in local government and realizing that the answers really are the individuals at a local level. It's crazy, amazing the things you can do when you have a group of small people, even a few people who are willing to fight for everything.
Well, we've worked with Sheriff Mack. Sheriff Mack is a good friend of mine, but I am a former county commissioner myself, and Sheriff Mack is the head of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. We recognize that local government is really the most powerful. The problem is most people don't think that way. They think that the federal government is the end all to be all, and they don't realize that our power is in getting local activism to work. And Sophie, I know you've been involved in that process. Talk a little bit about what you've been doing on a local level.
Okay, yeah. Well, Jen and I, we kind of don't do anything unless we do it together. And so we were wondering, why are all these leftist policies being like the red carpet was being rolled out for all these leftist liberal policies in a supposedly red conservative family value state like Utah. And so we started to submit public records requests. And in Utah, they're called GRAMA, Government Records Access Management Act. And one of the main issues we were going to look into that we were very interested in was why were our children being masked? It didn't matter if it was shown that it was ineffective, it was harmful, it was just a disaster. Why were they so intent on muzzling our children? And so we started to submit grammar requests. And we were able to learn that our governor and our state superintendent for our school board had signed an agreement with the federal government to receive ESSER funds. And ESSER funds are the federal funds that were given to states to recuperate from COVID in public education. Anyway, over $94 million was given over to Utah. We were, through these public records, we were able to receive the contracts and the emails and the texts and very many communications on why our children were being muzzled. And this particular grammar request, they charged us $10,000. So you can imagine that they were trying to hide why our children were being masked, why CRT, critical race theory, was being ushered into our school. All of those issues, they wanted to charge the public for public records $10,000. Anyway, long story short, Jen and I paid the $10,000, and these emails were absolutely incredible, and these contracts. Anyway, the very first contractual agreement for these ESSER funds was universal masking of public school children. And so when Jen and I learned that, we were very angry, and we knew we had to do something because we realized it's all about follow the money. Anyway, Jen, do you want to go into what we did at the county level with that information?
Yeah, we can actually. And it's funny because, like she says, we were realizing that it wasn't just about the medical situation. It was, you know, and the masking, it was about the CRT. I mean, my t-shirt says my pronouns are awake and concerned. I mean, they are teaching these children, pronouns. Our governor is called Governor Pronoun here because he's the only Republican one who actually uses his pronouns on social media. Time magazine said he was the only Republican governor who's not afraid to be woke. I mean, this is what we're up against here in this state. So him taking $96 million for this, and like Sophie said, to universally mask our kids, to have vaccine clinics on school property, that may be more understandable if it was a short-term thing, but the problem is, he signed it, as did our state school, back in 2000, and they signed it to have these conditions exist all the way through for 3 years, through 2022 or even 2023, depending on the contract. So to 3 years ago say, we're going to keep your kids in a mask for money, regardless of what, you know, the statistics are saying or not saying, was horrific to us. So we were like, we're not going to lose this. Sophie and I organized a group with short notice. They were trying to slide in a mask mandate at Salt Lake County, who's the biggest county in Utah, that they would continue to do these things. We organized a group of thousands of people who were like-minded and equally courageous to stand up. And long story short, we're able to discredit the public health director who had come from the CDC to work here in Utah, discredit her data sufficiently that the county council overturned the mask mandate. Now, that's a big win for the county, but it's a bigger win for the state because people do what Salt Lake County does. To show you the magnitude of that win, you can see all through the media, there are newspaper articles about the federal government immediately going after our governor because of that county being overturned for the masks. The reason being, again, he had signed a multi-million dollar contract without parental consent to do all these things to our children. So again, that's the power of that local government to have, you know, two moms and 1,000 other moms and grandparents and children who stood up and used their voice in appropriate ways to say, we're not doing this. And it worked, and it overturned it statewide.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, people need to realize that local government and activism is a very important part of our whole system of government, has been for the very long time. It's only been in about the last century that the federal government has learned how to use the big money to basically get collusion with local government to hand over the reins of power to the federal government. We need to take that system back. It looks like you ladies are doing that.
We're definitely
and it's interesting really quickly too, because there's evidence in some of the documents we have that show that not only is the states, and I believe this is happening almost everywhere in the United States, the states are trying to take power from the counties by interfering with things, but also the states are in discussions with turning over these elections, for example, to the federal government. So this really is a nationwide crisis. And I think it started, I mean, to me, it started really severely with the HAVA Act of 2002. You know, the George Bush, the hanging chads, those types of things paved the way for privatization, you know, of elections and increased centralization to the federal government of powers and rights that should have never ever left the county level.
Yeah, you're very accurate with that statement. And I don't know if you ladies are familiar with what's been going on, but there's been a group of governors, I believe, I think the number now is 27, who have signed on to UN Agenda 21 program, the Paris Accords, and they've done it even when Donald Trump said, no deal, we're out of the Paris Accords. There were a number of states, and they're all the blue states, that signed on to this, and there were also a few red states, and that's a tragic part of it. You cannot do that. You cannot sign the sovereignty of our private citizens over to an international organization. But yet they've done it and they've gotten away with it. We need to stop that, don't we?
We sure do. We sure do. And it reminds, this reminds me of Jen and I's lawsuit that we have trying to fight back this this turning over of our voices, our votes, our freedoms to the federal government and to selected officials. Jen and I have requested the data return, the 2020 election data return sets for all 29 counties in the state of Utah. And the number one reason we did this was because we soon realized that if we do not protect and preserve the election returns from 2020, we have no way in the future to be able to prove the fraud mm-hmm. of stealing of the election. And so currently our lawsuit is now the template for the nation. Mike Lindell has put that out to all the states to try to protect and preserve these election returns. And we're anxious to see where it goes. We're kind of in a great situation. If the state of Utah and the election people that are over our elections, if they discarded those election returns before the 22 month period, that's a big problem. And if they didn't, and we get it, and we're able to prove what they did, well, then it's perfect. So we're kind of in a win-win situation. And we're hoping the entire country can move forward in this fashion. And so we can prove what happened in 2020.
Everything has to be trackable. And they came into that situation in Arizona when they tried to do the audit of Maricopa County in Arizona. They realized that the county officials had actually destroyed some of the records that were supposed to be held for 22 months. Not only that, but then they refused to turn over the data from the servers as well. This is the sort of thing that if enough Americans stand up and make their voices heard, they can't do this sort of thing legally. Some of these people need to go to jail, don't they?
Absolutely.
Dan, if you don't mind, I want to go back to your United Nations comment for just a moment and tell your audience that don't ever suspect just because you live in a conservative state that everything is above board. Once we started digging and other people here in Utah started digging into some of these things, we realized that oftentimes it's the quiet conservative states where a lot of this stuff is really taking place. For example, Salt Lake City was the only city except for New York to ever host the United Nations conference. In 2018, they took over, and they meaning the United Nations staff, took over the Salt Palace and declared it a sovereign nation that was outside of any individual control. We have a World Trade Center here in Salt Lake, just right by the conference center, actually, in the LDS Church headquarters and the state capital of Utah. We have all of those things that are in place. I mean, not to mention the fact that, you know, the feds own 70% of the land in Utah, almost. It's about 67% and climbing by the day. These are very real things that most people don't realize is going on. I mean, Utah had a study. Utah was number two most corrupt state in the nation based upon a 2021 study in Best Life. And they looked at a multitude of factors. So again, we just want to make the point that there is something to do in every county, in every city. The corruption's not one off, it's contagious. And I think that's our biggest concern. That really seems to be the true pandemic, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm. Well, we all have that same problem. I live in Montana. Montana, everybody thinks of Montana as this cowboy state where everything is, you know, the old tough west and all that stuff. I've never seen so many corrupt, slimy individuals in our state capital. I mean, it just makes your skin crawl. And every time I go to Helena, I have to take a shower as soon as I get home. Just get the slime off. And it's that way in every state in our country. And really, the problem is we've allowed it to happen. We're the responsible parties to that, aren't we?
Absolutely.
Well, ladies, let's talk about what the two red pills, what you're doing. I know you don't have your own podcast, but you appear regularly in the Salt Lake City area, and you do podcasts around the country. Maybe talk a little bit about some of the things that you've been working on besides the election and besides the local school issues. I know you've been working on virtually all the stuff that the freedom movement is concerned about.
Okay, well, I'm worried because you said besides elections, but considering we're approaching November and Jen and I are very, very concerned about these upcoming elections, even specifically in our very own state, we would be shocked if several races are not stolen from the rightful winners. We just want to say that in August, we attended the Moment of Truth conference in Missouri, and that was absolutely amazing. I mean, all 50 states presented undeniable proof of the fraud in their own elections, and it was just, I mean, how can anyone deny that something went wrong in 2020? And so for now, I think that is our main focus, because everything trickles down from our elections. If we don't have free and fair elections, we can't fight the other issues, because they're all for naught, in our opinion.
Well, you're right about that. The elections are the most important thing we've got to deal with. But the other part of that is that we've got to have activists at the local level that are monitoring and keeping track of all this stuff. What are you ladies, I guess, Jennifer, I'll ask you, what are you ladies doing to organize groups to be at the polling stations, to do observation at the polling stations, and then report if there are threats or things that are really out of hand?
Yeah, that's been probably one of our biggest top three calls to action for people, is become a poll worker. If you can't, you know, be a poll watcher, whatever is allowed in your individual area. At the primaries this year, we helped organize groups, and there were many people in the state who did the same thing, thankfully, to try to get people in there to watch firsthand what was going on. What was interesting is we came back, and I don't even know the count, Sophie, but it was not even dozens. It was many, many dozens of affidavits, signed, sworn, notarized affidavits from people saying, oh my gosh, you guys, there's stuff going on. We see preloaded numbers in some of these places. We have seen votes flipping from Senator Mike Lee to his competitor, Becky Edwards. And we posted that on our website, as did our heroic Representative Phil Lyman. We got crucified by the media attacking us for doing these things. But at the end result was very interesting. Our lieutenant governor, who is effectively our secretary of state, that's a whole nother can of worms we've got going on here in Utah. But she's over elections, and she was forced to look into it and put out a public statement saying, in the end, these people's votes were able to be counted for who they wanted to vote for. And she said, we fixed the problem. So numerous statements that showed there really was something going wrong with these voting machines. And this is all due to poll watchers and people. Even if you're not a poll watcher, pay attention when you go in to vote in person. Do not consider any other option unless you're in the hospital or out of the country. Please, we're begging you. Keep your mail-in ballot if they're forced to send it to you like we get here with universal mail-in balloting. Keep it sealed. Bring it with you. Don't show it to them. And if you get to the voting place and they say you've already voted, call your sheriff immediately for voter fraud claim. But that's what we're saying. The poll watchers are huge. It's probably one of the biggest resources we have at the moment. Don't be afraid to call the sheriff. Don't be afraid. Have a lawyer on hand if you need it. Sometimes the county lawyers aren't always the most sympathetic to the movement of election integrity. Oftentimes they can be, but have a plan where you're able to report somewhere if it's just the sheriff's, if nothing else, what's going on. And don't be afraid to speak up. If you think you saw something and it doesn't pan out, we're no worse off for you trying. So we're hoping everybody has the courage to do that.
Well, I think there are a lot of people nationwide that are trying to organize those kind of groups. But you're right. The most important part of this is get off your butt, get out and vote in person and take that mail-in ballot and tell the election officials, I don't want paper these mail-in ballots. We want paper ballots counted at the precinct level, and you can only vote with valid ID. What do you think of that, Sophie?
100%. I couldn't say it better myself.
We're talking about the two red pills. These ladies go in the Utah area. They're known as the two red pills, which is really appropriate because we've got a Red Pill Expo coming up in about 2.5 weeks in Salt Lake. These ladies are going to be on stage talking about why fight City Hall when you can be City Hall. And they've agreed to bring several legislators and county commissioners to the floor. And we're going to be talking about how important it is for people to get involved. Ladies, before the break, you were talking about how incredibly gutless the politicians are, and what a wonderful thing it is when an individual has the guts to stand up against the system. That really is the key. And yes, they'll try to hammer you, they'll try to intimidate you, they'll try to vilify you, they'll do everything in their power to try to make you look like someone who is outside of the mainstream. Guess what? We are the mainstream. The ones that are outside of the mainstream are the 5% that want to turn the United States of America into a communist country. They don't want a constitutional country. They want a communist country. And they're only about 5%. We need to stand up. If we do, we learn that we really are the powerful ones. Jennifer, we'll start with you. You were talking about how you're involved in trying to get people to stand up. You have a couple of examples.
Yeah, Sophie and I both have met with pretty fierce, at times, opposition. It comes in a variety of ways. One of the most interesting on my end was when I asked for election data from Salt Lake County, I was met with a $100,000 request. Over time, we were able to prove that those were illegal rates. It was extortion to ask for these things. And it was interesting because most people, in fact, I've had people tell me this at the highest levels. We're now literally in district court fighting this out. People say, well, how everyone else would have given up by now. Everyone else has just, you know, rolled over and taken this. Sometimes it's a process, but you know, I can't think of a time in history when something great has happened that hasn't involved a fight. So the resilience, you know, and that determination to do what's right, or at least fight for what's right, I think is what keeps us going. So when they threatened to sue me to stop me from getting these records, we just say, bring it on. As Sophie said earlier, we have another lawsuit against the state that the attorney general and the lieutenant governor hijacked. They intervened on this lawsuit and have tried and put intense pressure locally to get it dismissed. So they don't want to deal with it. We're not backing down. But when I asked for election data about the Project Backup database, I have proof of text messages from our lieutenant governor about me giving out my private information. A few days later, I had men on my porch that were at my internet box. My computer has been hacked. I had a detective come out. I've had cybersecurity people come out to verify these things. I've had trackers on my car. All sorts of pushback. But the point is that kind of intimidation or that kind of threat, wherever it's coming from, it doesn't matter if it's an alphabet agency. I don't care if it's security guys. I don't care if it's, you know, whoever is doing these types of things under direction of people in power. It is regardless, we can't let them win. One of our most heroic people, and you'll see him at the Red Pill Expo, is Representative Phil Lyman that we mentioned previously to you. He was a man that, as a county commissioner, he stood up for his First Amendment rights when the federal government was trying to take more land down in southern Utah. He had a peaceful protest. He was on his ATV with other concerned citizens. There was nothing riotous about what they were doing. There was nothing unconstitutional about what they were doing. But it wasn't the message that the federal government wanted to hear. He ended up spending 10 days in jail, in prison, federal prison, and being fined almost $100,000. Now, the good part of that story is that Trump actually pardoned him on his first set of pardons. Phil Lyman has not given up. In fact, he's used that experience to get even stronger as a representative. He was the only man who consistently stood up in our Utah legislature. And by the way, our legislature has received verbal threats from our governor, we've been told from multiple sources, saying, I will ruin your career if you guys keep looking into these things. Now, we believe this to be true because just several days after I requested this and had men on my porch, the governor came out with a statement that said, citizens who are questioning the elections are playing a very dangerous game. Well, this is what you're up against sometime, but I'm telling you, it's much better to face opposition like this than to live in a communist country, knowing that you've got to live with yourself, realizing that you didn't do all you could do. And that's what motivates Sophie and I in this fight.
Well, I have to tell you, I honor the fact that so many ladies are the ones who are carrying the heavy load. They're the ones doing the hard work. I'm embarrassed that so few men are standing up and actually are doing the kind of heavy lifting that you're doing. Thank God you're doing that, ladies. Thank you for that. Sophie, you talked about this too, and the fact that they are threatening and calling anyone who questions the system. Now, this is part of what we used to do. This was the American way, was if you didn't like the way things were, you questioned them. Now, if you question the so-called authority or the powers that be, somehow you're some kind of a terrorist or a right-wing extremist. And you ladies are standing up. You both are family people. This is the important thing for people to understand. This isn't a radicalized group of people. You ladies are mothers. You understand the importance of standing up for your children.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that was never more clear to me In full disclosure, I have four children, so does Jen. And I took my two oldest children to January 6th. And I can tell you that I have never in my entire life had a more spiritual and inspiring, strengthening experience. It was almost like we were called to be there. And I'm embarrassed to say that in my I was so naive to believe that when I went there on January 5th, I was certain that a stolen election would not stand in America, right? We're in America after all. How could this possibly stand? But looking back, I'm extremely grateful that the election was stolen. And I know that sounds weird, but how else would you wake up thousands upon thousands of semi-sleeping people? And I'll include myself. I was always, interested and involved and never had any desire to live in even a slightly communist country. My mom's from Cuba, and so I know exactly what communism looks like, and I hate it. But I wasn't awake to the point I wasn't moved to action yet. And that one day when a presidential election was stolen, it was the beginning of all of this. And so I'm grateful for that. And Jen and I pray every day that other people will have an experience or a feeling that just moves them to action. Do something. There is so much corruption. You don't have to look far to find it. Really, it's everywhere. I think that's our main thing right now is just we want to get out the information and we want to inspire people to be involved. And like I was saying earlier, we pray that courage is contagious. I think we're in a place that we've been seeing that cowardice is contagious. Jen and I sell these shirts that one of them says, I'm a rhino hunter. Our current establishment GOP is disgusting to me. It's disgusting. Sometimes I'll take a Democrat over a Republican because at least you can see the knife coming instead of being stabbed in the back every time. We're fighting it from every angle, and we are excited that other people are in this journey with us.
Obviously they are. Yeah, go ahead, Jennifer.
I was going to say, we also have another shirt, which is hilarious, and it'll lead probably into the next conversation topic. And it's called, it says, I'm a mother or I'm a father, AKA a domestic terrorist. And let's not forget that, I mean, we've been called terrorists on numerous levels. If you went to January 6th, if you question the elections, if you dare speak in a school board meeting. And I think Sophie's got a pretty interesting story to share with that one, if you have a second.
Yeah, and I feel so horrible. My phone's going to die. And if I can just share that story quick, I'd really appreciate it. Last year, I went to a public school board meeting. They would not allow any parents that were wanting their children to not wear masks to speak at these public school board meetings. I even got Representative Phil Lyman to address the board, and they would not allow him to address them. So I had gone through all the protocol, the legal, lawful protocol to have my voice heard. And all I was asking for was for the school district to honor a parent signed medical exemption, because that is what a law dictates. That is my right. If I choose what goes in and on my children's body, they have to honor that. Anyway, the public school board comment time was wrapping up, and I approached the podium. I never used profanity. I never threatened anyone. And I just said, stop abusing my children. And pretty much, I mean, I said, are you serious? But anyway, I am now headed to a jury trial on December 30th. This has never been prosecuted in the history of the United States that a parent has to face a jury because I spoke out of turn because they would not give parents a chance to speak. And so Jen and I decided that we would make shirts that explain what's happening in our country. You know, I'm a mother, aka a domestic terrorist. And it seems like Biden and his, you know, his minions believe that. They truly believe parents that care about their children are domestic terrorists.
Well, it's because our government no longer represents the people. The government now represents the government, and it represents the most powerful in government. And frankly, I agree with you, ladies. Most of them are there illegitimately. They aren't there because they won a fair election. They're there because they were installed by the CCP or someone else that happens to control the media.
100%.
Well, we're going to have fun in Salt Lake, I can tell you. I'm looking forward to it. I really am. Let's talk a little bit about why fight City Hall when you can be City Hall. You've already talked about some of the things that you've been working with, you know, trying to get better election results as a result of more disclosure, more openness. But there's another real key element that goes into this, and that is supporting the right kind of candidates and vetting and getting the kind of candidates that will actually represent the people. Talk a little bit about how important it is and how important it is for people who don't want to run for a political office. Just do it. Because if you don't, the bad guys are going to be the ones that do it. It just works that way. They've got all the time off because most of them are in some government job or not even working at all. And so they've got lots of time. The busy people that work and pay the taxes are the ones that are going to have to start volunteering for political office. Talk about that, please.
Well, I always say the best candidate is the one that doesn't want to run, in a sense, because we look at George Washington, right? He never aspired to be anything big and great and in leadership. Those people who seek control are those who have a tendency to control the people. And this is what's happened for so long. We've been asleep. We've stayed complacent. I mean, I'm a scriptorian. All these books behind me are scripture and ancient writings. And you see it through every single generation and all throughout time, no matter what country you're in, the minute you get complacent and distracted, some of the best tools, I think, of the devil. You let it in, and then it's too hard to clean it out. And that's been the destruction of so many countries. It's what terrifies Sophie and I, and it's what keeps us driving. But again, it's those people who aren't interested in getting the gain, getting the power, having the popularity. And, you know, they're not willing to compromise, and that's exactly what we need. So if you're out there and you have that constitutional values and you're able to take a stand for what you believe in, you're exactly who we're looking for across the nation, I dare say.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you ladies, and I'm sure that everyone across the country needs to understand that when you do get someone that's willing to do that, it's important that we support them. It's important that we go door to door or do whatever's necessary. We only have to do that every now and then to get a good candidate in office, and then we need to monitor and make sure that they're doing what they said they were going to do.
Exactly. And, you know, we hear it often, the government forgets that they work for the people, right? But I think the people also forget that they need to work too. I mean, we have just as much responsibility, you know, for this. We have the ability to correct it. It's been done before. We also have the ability to lose this fight very easily if we don't have the passion and courage necessary and the focus necessary to realize that the line has been drawn. I don't think we've got a lot of time to sit there and wait for 2024, wait for 2028. I think we've missed that window, in my opinion. We have to decide every day when we wake up, are we getting closer to communism or are we getting closer to the Constitution? There's really nothing in between anymore. I think it's black and it's white, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's good and evil, and it is black and white. We liken it to if you've got a garden you're not going to have a very good garden. You're going to have nothing but weeds in that garden unless you put a little time into tending that garden. That's what the average citizen in this country needs to understand. The only way we're going to have limited constitutional government is if we get involved. Sophie?
Absolutely. And, you know, we reap what we sow, right? And I know everyone's busy. Everyone has family. They have activities. They have hobbies. I mean, it has been the honor of my life to watch Jen just, I mean, she works seriously like 16 hours a day on this stuff. She is a absolute hero and patriot. I mean, I am just so honored to be her friend because she has shown me, like, you don't stop until you have nothing else to give. And even when you have nothing else to give, you keep on giving somehow. Figure it out. And if you know, I don't think we would be where we are if more people were like Jen and others. I feel like, you know, you don't know what you have until it's taken away from you. Watching my mom flee from a communist regime where in the first grade, she had a teacher who spoke out against Castro in the privacy of his own home. And the government came in and in front of all those first grade children, brought that teacher out to the yard and shot him in the head with those kids watching. And that's the kind of country I am absolutely horrified that we could possibly give to our children.
Well, and people need to do the right thing now when it's actually fairly easy to do the right thing. Because as you say, you get to a certain tipping point and you no longer have the freedom to do the right thing. We can't afford to wait until that happens.
Absolutely.
And we need to get statesmen instead of politicians. And that's a big deal.
It is. And to Jen's point, she's talked about Representative Phil Lyman. I've said to him, I've said, you either become our next governor or I'm going to have to move out of Utah. And the problem, like, where do we go? You know, every place is corrupt. Every place is going downhill. And so we have to lift up these certain people that have integrity, that have courage, and we have to throw all our support behind those kind of people.
Well, and it takes money. And that's the other part that really disturbs me about the conservative movement is that the people who do things like you and Jen, you had to pay your own pay for the records that you went to get. How many people came in and tried to help you with that?
You know, I mean, you're absolutely right. You know, it's very easy to say you want to help, but when it hits you in the pocketbook, suddenly people disappear from wanting to help. And so it's interesting. Jen and I laugh because we've only gotten a lot poorer during this journey. Any amount of donation is so appreciated.
I did want to also mention, though, we have had some very generous donations to help us put on events and do things. There are people out there who are, you know, we have one gentleman that he says, I can't get out of, wheelchair bound or bed bound or whatever. And he says, but I can make, you know, I can help you make cards. One gentleman made pamphlets for us out of his own pocket. There's things you can do regarding, and it doesn't always take money. Oftentimes we tell people, spread the video, spread the word, public records. You know, some of those you can get for free if you want to go down there and view them at their facility. They don't charge you, at least here in Utah, they don't. There's always something you can do. My recommendation is pray to God, sincerely ask him what that is, and gosh darn it, get out there and do it. The minute you get that answer, you just hit the ground running and you don't stop because we do have a window here. I think we can do this if we get everybody in aligned.
I think we are in the right side of this issue. I see that you do, you are someone who is a believer, and that's very important because this is a battle between good and evil. If we don't stand up for God's word and stand up for what's right, we are going to be destroyed.
Exactly. And you know, it's one of the groups of scripture I have right behind me says, if you will just serve the God of this land, who is Jesus Christ, we are promised protection. I believe that. I hope we can return to the original God-given principles that our country was founded on. And we do that at a local level.
Well, I agree. Ladies, I look forward to seeing you both at the Red Pill Expo coming up in 2.5 weeks. I'll be talking to you before then, but I want to thank you ladies for joining us today, and I want to thank our viewers for being here on Connecting the Dots. We'll see you again next Tuesday, same time, same station.